News Talk 1340, KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell, Rochester Today. Winter weather and advisory in effect today. It's going to get windy later on. It's 10 minutes after 10. Tom Ostrom's here. Again, I'm Andy Brownell, and good morning to you, Tom. A little slick on the travel over?
Yes.
That was a very concise answer.
I said yes twice to expand it.
No. That's thanks for the color commentary.
You sounded like Howard Cosell there for a minute. Thanks for that color.
Be careful if you're out traveling. And my understanding is when the winds start blowing later on this afternoon, things could get very dicey in open areas. So just keep that in mind if you have travel plans. Mailbag, Tom.
I told you I had one, but I'm going to put it off because I see the date on it. We got some time yet. I'll start with a listener, local state news. An informed listener was interested in, do students have to say the Pledge of Allegiance in the Rochester schools? Do they say them? Do the schools encourage that? What's going on? So he contacted Kurt Dowd, the Speaker of the Minnesota House of Representatives. And Kurt Dowd said, thanks for contacting me on this. I believe this link will answer your questions and provide the information you're looking for on the state statutes. And it's kind of complicated, like everything else.
Okay.
United States flag, Minnesota statutes, displayed by schools. Every public school in Minnesota must display an appropriate U.S. flag when in session. It should be displayed upon the school grounds or outside the building on a proper staff, on every legal holiday occurring within the school term, and at other times the board or the district may designate. The flag must be displayed within the principal rooms of the school building at all other times when school is in session. But what about the Pledge of Allegiance, our listener was concerned with? Do people say that? You know, because there's so much trouble with that across the nation, the political correctness and Hispanic students, Mexican or illegals that don't want to say it, and some people philosophically opposed to saying it. So he wanted to know the rules in the state. The Pledge of Allegiance. All public and charter school students shall recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America one or more times each week. The recitation shall be conducted. But all these caveats, each individual classroom teacher or teacher surrogate should lead the proceedings, or it may be done over a school intercom system by a person designated by the school principal. Or a local school board or charter board of directors may annually waive the requirement.
Oh, okay.
Waive the requirement. And then any student or teacher may decline to participate in the recitation of the pledge. I think that's outrageous. Why our country, with the blessings everybody gets, including going to school, would decline. I just don't get that. And then a local school board or charter board of directors may, again, waive the requirement. Students and teachers can decline to participate. A school district or charter school that has a student handbook or school policy guide must include a statement that anyone who does not wish to participate in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance for any personal reason may elect not to do so, and that students must respect those persons' right to make the choice. And a local school board or charter school board of directors that waives the requirement to recite the pledge under paragraph A, section this, section that, may adopt a district or school policy regarding the reciting of the pledge. And finally, subdivision 4. Unless the requirement in subdivision 3 is waived by a majority of the school board, a school district must instruct students in the proper etiquette toward correct display of and respect for the flag and in patriotic exercises. So in other words, do people have to say the pledge?
Maybe.
Your guess is as good as mine.
It said it is required unless it's not.
Yeah. And you must say it unless you don't want to. Gosh. What's our nation come to that people don't want to say the pledge?
What you read was just the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever read in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a requirement, but not really.
Right. And there was about 10 subdivisions, and I just underlined the key sentences, skipping the ones I didn't understand.
So in other words, it's required, but any student, any teacher, any administrator, and any school board can decide to opt out either individually, classroom size, or district-wide. That's what it said.
That's what it says. Good summation, my friend Andrew. And Kurt Dowd, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, a Republican, no wonder he said, thanks for taking the time to contact me. I think this link will provide the information you're looking for. He didn't want to answer it.
Oh, goodness.
So that's that.
I could just see when that bill got passed. Hey, let's pass this bill that requires the Pledge of Allegiance. I amend that bill. Yeah. You get to the end and we pass this bill that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm offended. How would you like to be a school administrator trying to figure out what to do and have parents down your neck, whatever you decide?
I know that when my kids were little, I do remember being in the classroom and they were required to. But to be honest with you, that you're talking 15 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
So I have absolutely no clue as to what's going on today.
Well, we thank our listener for thinking about it because he'd heard from someone that students don't have to say the pledge, and he was outraged.
Apparently
by it.
They don't.
So he went to the top.
It's 17 after 10 o'clock, 27 in the downtown. A little light snow and maybe even a little drizzle out there as well. We'll take a quick break. Thomas, be back. We're speaking about school, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe when you look out the window, but people are planning graduation parties as we speak. And if you are among those who have that task this spring, keep Roscoe's in mind. Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. They can take care of all of your catering needs and make sure that your guests have a delicious meal when they come by to congratulate your graduate.
Oh, yes.
So, keep them in mind.
That's a wonderful opportunity and advantage, a sure thing. And a Roscoe's gift certificate is always appreciated by folks, and they're available in any amount that you wish to pay. So stop into Roscoe's North now. Spring's coming, and you'll be able to stop into two of their places, but right now it's Roscoe's North by Shopko up by the movie theater. I'm going to get the Chicago-style hot dog. See, when I go. And it's Mary's birthday pretty soon, so they sent her the card. They keep track if you ask them to.
And you go and use it for your hot dog.
And I'll go get the hot dog and the side dishes, baked beans and black-eyed pea salad and broccoli, coleslaw, green beans, mashed potatoes, everything, cornbread. But, of course, the best barbecue in town, the pork, the chicken, and the ham.
That's right. Roscoe's Root Beer and Ribs. That number, if you're interested in the catering, is 285-0501. No gathering too big or too small for Roscoe's. Again, the North location by Shopko North is open all year round.
Your weather eye forecast on News Talk 1340 KROC AM.
It's brought to you by Truckin' America. Are you making plans for summer? If so, then toppers, lids, tonneau covers, hitches, or maybe even contractor equipment should be on your list. Truckin' America in Rochester and truckinamerica.com, the automotive aftermarket experts. Winter weather advisory in effect until 9 p.m. We're looking for some minor accumulations of snow today, maybe an inch with a high of about 30 degrees. Becoming windy this afternoon. Tonight, all the way down to 2 below zero, northwest winds, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Again, we could have some very slick conditions and reduced visibilities because of those winds. Then probably cloudy tomorrow, a cold day with a high near 10 degrees, all the way down to 10 below tomorrow night. And then on Thursday, one more cold day, sunshine and a high of just 12. Then, after that, welcome news. We're expecting at least partly cloudy skies and perhaps just beautiful sunshine Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mid-30s Friday and Saturday, near 40 on Sunday. And we've mentioned before, unofficially, some longer-range forecasts predicting even nicer stuff possible next week. But as we all know, that could change relatively quickly. Right now, downtown, some light snow, even freezing drizzle here and there. 27 degrees at KROC AM. It's 22 past 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. I'm Andy Brownell with Tom Ostrom. And Tom, I guess all eyes on BB today, out in Washington, D.C.
It is. And before I get to BB, he's addressing Congress today, and you'll have thoughts too, I know, Andrew. But, Donald Trump, when he speaks in public, he always complains, the Chinese, as he says, are eating our lunch. Well, the Iranians are eating our lunch, and Netanyahu's going to talk about how they are with these nuclear talks with Secretary of State Kerry and the Obama administration. And another example of it, the Iranians are spreading out in the Middle East. I'm sure Netanyahu will mention that. I mean, they've got interests in Iraq. They've got interests elsewhere. They support Syria and the dictator Assad. And now Iranian troops are in Iraq, and they are preparing to go with Iraqi troops. I thought we were advising Iraqi troops to attack the city of Mosul and get it back, and then to Grit, where Saddam Hussein's hometown, which ISIS has taken over. Iran is leading the forefront. Jordan is, too, and General El-Sisi in Egypt says we as Arab nations have to take on ISIS, and we have to stop the Islamic extremism that's ruining our religion. But Iranian troops, as we speak, are ready to invade Mosul with Iraqi troops and then maybe take on Tigrit. So Iraq knows we're leaving someday. They're going to move into the Iranian orbit.
We left for
it. And that's the stunning influence Iran is I think, exhibiting in the Middle East.
Which had been predicted by many the moment we pulled out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks who said that Iran is ready to fill the power vacuum. And you are very quickly developing this polarization of power within the Middle East between the Saudis and the Iranians. Obviously, the Sunni side on the Saudi area and the Shiite side on the Iranian and side, and it's headed toward conflict. And it there are some who predict this will lead to a major conflagration in the Middle East, and that will have an impact. I'm talking worst case scenario, obviously, here, but this involvement with boots on the ground by the Iranians in the fight against ISIS is more or less a proxy war at this point, if you want to look at it that way. The Wahhabis are the ISIS and Al Qaeda are the direct grandchildren of the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
The lines are clear and direct.
Sure.
And the other side of this, the Shia extremist groups that have been promoting their agenda are based out of Tehran and the Revolutionary Guard.
Yep.
And now they're going to apparently meet head on in the deserts of Iraq.
And if Netanyahu says what he said to the Jewish organization, AIPAC, a day ago, he's going to mention Iran and its quest of a nuclear device. The United Nations inspectors who are experts say Iran is not fulfilling its obligations, contrary to what Rice says and Obama says and Kerry says. Then they have a hidden place they won't let inspectors go to that are involved, they think, with nuclear weapons. And Iran and Saudi Arabia, right, frightened to death of Iran. And if Iran is going toward a nuke capacity and weaponry, which sounds like they are, and they will, and even Kerry says, they won't for many years, Saudi Arabia is then going to want its own nuclear weapons, and so will Egypt. So Netanyahu has a lot to say. He'll be saying those things.
It'll be a rapid escalation if it does occur. There'll be a crazy black market going on, and the people who will be dealing in the arms will be the North Koreans, the Pakistanis, the Indians. I don't know about the Indians, but the Pakistanis, I would suspect right away, at least through unofficial channels, and the Iranians. Yeah. So you would see an arms race, and it would become a very, very dangerous world very, very quickly. But that being said, what is the other option?
Oh, I got him. The sanctions. Congress wants to be part of the treaty that's signed. Obama says he'll veto anything Congress puts before him to be part of it. I thought we had checks and balances. Rice said that it's disastrous for Bibi to be here. Obama's kind of backing off on that and says
he should
no.
Back off on that.
But that our congressmen aren't going to listen to him, or some of them aren't. Mendez is a Democrat from New Jersey, and he said, I support Israel. I don't care what other Democrats tell me to do. I don't care if they tell me to shut up. I am supporting Israel, and they're right about Iran, and the Congress should have a role in whatever agreements are made. And it's a disgrace that my colleagues aren't going to listen to Netanyahu. Prime Minister Cameron, he said, came and talk to Congress about not having sanctions. That's what we need is sanctions. Their economy is bad. Their oil prices are down. We have to threaten them with sanctions, or they're not going to tell us when they decide to breach any agreement that's made. Menendez is furious, and his Democrat colleagues are going after him. But some, and then Senator Feinstein, a Jewish senator from California, says Netanyahu doesn't speak for all Jews. I can't understand our public, our president's intransigence with a true ally who knows more about that region than his administration does.
But I will. I have no issue with Bibi. I'm going to say Mr. Netanyahu. By the way, it wasn't that long ago. I guess it was a long time ago. He was a visitor to Rochester. This is how much the world has changed. I was trying to explain this to my teenage kid, that Netanyahu came to Rochester in the middle of a snowstorm on a Sunday night. Was that 10 years ago? It was more than 10 years ago. When King Hussein of Jordan was in the hospital here dying of cancer. And he considered Hussein a friend mm-hmm. at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Across a bridge to the Arab world, and was making a visit to the United States at that time, and made a side trip to Rochester, Minnesota, to visit the hospital room of his old friend, King Hussein of Jordan. And then, okay, so if you look at that, and you look at Netanyahu and the way he is portrayed by this administration and some on the left, is that he's got horns coming out of his head.
And that's
the same man that did that.
Sure.
So you got to look beyond.
Sure.
The
and Netanyahu was the U.S. ambassador to here. He was the U.N. ambassador. And the Jordan king is friends with Netanyahu. And so is General al-Sisi in Egypt, a friend.
282-1234. We'll talk more about this after the news break, but we'll do a quick call before we jump into the news. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
Every representative who does not show up is going to be seeing a ton of commercials next election pointing that out.
Yeah.
And another thing, when I was a kid, I learned and recited the pledge without under God, which was propaganda inserted despite the godless atheist communists. If it was good enough for me as a kid, it's good enough for an agnostic adult.
Okay.
Besides that,
okay.
What about little Heinrich, whose parents are over from Germany on an exchange with the clinic? He bears no allegiance whatsoever to the USA.
Oh, in the classroom.
Yeah.
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 Well, that I can understand, but not Americans who benefit.
That was subsection C for 2A.
In fact, the word Heinrich is in this.
That's complicated.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Good point.
Good points.
Okay.
Have a good one, Cato. Thanks. Got to take that break for news. It's 27 in the downtown. Carol's Cup, Carol's Corn. They're in the subway level of the Kaler Grand Hotel. They've been there for over two decades now. In fact, they recently celebrated a 22nd anniversary. Be sure to like them on Facebook. That's probably the best way to know what is going on, unless you're like Ostrom and stops down there every single day to have a chat with his friends at Carol's Cup and Carol's Corn. That is obviously the best way to stay up to date.
Yeah.
But if you're a little bit busy and you want to find out what all the new flavors are, what they're trying out, and go to the Facebook page and like them there, and you'll be right on top of everything.
Right. You can even suggest what you'd like them to experiment with in a new menu. The Yogurt Shop is open on Saturdays and Sundays, and then if you go to the Yogurt Shop, they might let you into the Corn Shop, too, if you'd like to go there. So that's the wonderful people there. The family is so friendly, and their staff is so friendly. It's the Gourmet Popcorn Shop in Rochester. It's nationally known. Fresh popcorn all day long. Regular caramel, caramel cashews, cheddar cheese, white, and other flavors, too.
That's Carol's Cup, Carol's Corn, Subway Level, Kaler Grand Hotel. News Talk 1340, KROC AM. Good morning, I'm Andy Brownell with Rochester Today with Tom Ostrom. 282-1234 is the number if you want to join the conversation. We went into the news break talking about the top story, of course, everywhere today is Benjamin Netanyahu addressing Congress and the president not meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel, members of Congress who are on the Democratic side of the aisle, a significant number of them are not attending this meeting as a protest to what they have referred to as diplomatic protocol. And this whole thing gets kind of goofy that way. And the president's excuse for his brush off of Netanyahu during this crucial time is that Netanyahu is up for election in 2 weeks, and therefore he's had this policy that he won't meet with foreign leaders just for before elections, because that would somehow infer a level of support for the incumbent leader during election, and that rule has been bent and twisted and tied around in a knot so many times it's ridiculous.
That's right.
It
was with Prime Minister Cameron, who came to Congress to talk against sanctions. But I think President Obama wants a legacy, and he wants to say he got a treaty going, and so does Secretary of State Kerry, so they can get another, or he can get a Nobel Prize. But Kerry's hugging the foreign minister of Iran and Geneva now, but they won't talk to Netanyahu. I think they're afraid of him. They know he knows more than they do. This administration has dissed him, insulted him numerous times when he's been in the United States, and they've said nasty things about him. I think they're jealous of him. He's more eloquent than they are. He's more intellectual. He knows more about the Middle East, and they just don't want him blocking the treaty that they want to look good at before Obama leaves office. But
as a pragmatist, I see a treaty as a positive. As a pragmatist, getting there is the hard part, and what you end up with is even harder. And I have to share your assessment of the Iranians are probably better at this than this administration as far as cutting a deal, because the Iranians have the long term view.
Yeah,
this ten-year window is nothing.
Yeah,
that's okay with them. And if they can they can get a little bit of relief on the pressure valve side of their populace as far as these sanctions are concerned, and they win over a little bit of time to appease the more modern and moderate aspects of their society while they pursue a longer-term goal, they'll do it.
Sure.
And Netanyahu's got a great point of that. But I guess what I'm coming down to as a pragmatist, our options are few and far between at this point.
Well, but if we impose sanctions, which the Obama administration doesn't want, we'd crush Iran. We almost did last time. That's why they came to the negotiating table, because of the previous sanctions that hurt them. And now oil prices are cut in half, and they just think that'll make Iran scurry away from a deal, but they're not going to keep any promises anyway.
Well, that is the question, though, is the Iranians have been very belligerent on that point, that if this Congress even discusses sanctions before even the threat of additional sanctions, we're walking away from the table.
Which shows they're running the show.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that. And I've said that before. That's a bad place to be if you show up at the poker table.
Right.
That the other side's walking before you even lay down the cards. You kind of put yourself in a hole at that point. And I've said before, I don't have any level of confidence that this administration will come up with a workable deal. And that being said, the president has said that himself. Even Obama has said he has high doubts that the Iranians will actually cut a deal. Hmm. So then at the end of the day, what is all this monkey business about with Netanyahu? Yeah. I'm talking inside my head, outside of it at the same time. Is this all about getting Netanyahu out of office?
Yeah, because Obama's interfering in their elections while he says he doesn't want to interfere in elections. Some politicos are in Israel now, Americans, trying to get Netanyahu defeated. Talk about interfering in elections.
282-1234 is the number. Good morning. You're on KROC. Hello. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I had to wake you up.
I made this comment back when Bill Clinton was, I think he was negotiating with a Republican Congress about something, and I called in one day, and I said, because they were having problems coming to a deal, and I made the comment, how is it that you can negotiate with a known liar? Nowadays, we have the Iranian leaders who we know are liars. They have showed it throughout the years. And we have an administration on our side who we know are liars. What kind of a deal are these people coming up with?
Okay.
You put it down to a pretty basic level for us there.
How can you trust?
Well, your points are excellent.
They are excellent.
It's cosmetic. It's trying to get Obama out of office with an assumed victory. But, yeah, thank you.
We have another caller, Tom. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Well, she sure seemed to have a lot of enemies throughout the world, and I'm kind of concerned about that. I don't know of a country on this hemisphere that really respects us anymore, including Canada. Kind of surprised me. The latest thing that we have internally is an organization called La Raza. It means the race in Spanish. And is based in Washington, D.C. And one of their activities, of course, is to rally large crowds in big cities, flying the Mexican flag and so on and so forth. They're funded by the federal government, much of their funding, and a whole bunch of wealthy people, I understand. They get over $15 million from the federal government. 7.9 million of that supposedly comes from the Department of Education, so they can run their Montessori schools. You should look it up on the internet. Kind of surprised me and made me very disgusted.
All right.
Well, that is frightening, and the Department of Education gets political, too. There's no question about it. And that is some of the Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag controversies out in the Southwest and West with this Hispanic Mexican population.
Yeah. Well, they have big lobbying efforts going on at the same time. It's La Raza.
Okay.
Okay.
I will look it up.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
282-1234. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Hello.
Morning.
Hi.
Yes. I don't know. I guess I'd like to vent. You know, I'm at a point where I've always considered myself looking with an open mind. I've voted in every election that I've been qualified for, and I'm 70 years old. And for me, over the past 3 years, I cannot even listen to the president or his administration people. Nothing comes out of their mouths but lies, distortions, and some other things. And I, you know, for me, in keeping an open mind, you have to see all sides of it. And I don't really make a decision who I'm going to vote for until the day of the election. So I'm open to changing my mind. I don't see why Netanyahu should not be able to come here to Congress. And I think President Obama is totally wrong in his philosophy. I think I just don't listen to the guy. I don't trust him. I just don't do anything coming out of the administration. It's just terrible.
I think your issues are becoming more and more commonplace depending on where you are in the political spectrum.
And I am reinforced because you are an open-minded, objective student of political affairs, try your best to be, and now I find you agree with me and I'm totally closed-minded.
But it's not funny.
It's not funny.
But I've just in the past week alone, you are the third person. And you've called the show before and brought up some very, very interesting points from a different perspective that I've really appreciated.
Okay.
And so you would be the third person I would call at least, at the very least, open-minded. I know the other two I know are firmly planted in the moderate scheme of things as far as their political ideology is concerned. And they have expressed very similar sentiments to me in just the past week that they just can't take it anymore.
There's nothing that's coming out, you know, I can't even look at any of his representatives with a straight face because I know they're lying. You know, if you can go to other sources, the internet is a tremendous source if you can trust it. And, you know, I have certain sites that I go to on the internet to get my sources. I have certain TV programs that I go to trust. But even those portray to me that it is a lie or a distortion, and I just can't stand the look at the guy.
And sometimes when their spokespeople get up and say this just utter nonsense that it goes back to the old thing, the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah.
And when you cut down on your own credibility that way, I don't understand why you would pursue that strategy, because in the long term, it's harmful for not only this administration, but for the country as a whole.
I don't think that I've felt this way about any administration since I've been voting.
All right.
It's just totally, I just block them out.
You've done a great job of venting. Thanks.
Thank you for your analysis. I think President Obama has the advantage of a media that loves having an African-American president and loves having a liberal president, and they put up with his deceptions even when he attacks reporters and his administration spies on them. And I think the Democrats will do what Obama says. The Democrats are so concerned with protecting his image and doing whatever he says and supporting him, whatever he does, however outrageous. The loyalty to him is absolutely unfathomable to me, especially when Obama lost the last election when the Republicans took over Congress, House and Senate, because Obama said, my policies are on the ballot. You bet they were. But now he lost, but elections don't have consequences. But the tight Democrat loyalty and support astounds me, except for people like Menendez.
Okay, but in the middle of the summer last summer, that they were running away from his policies coming up to the election. The Obamacare was a four-letter word in September as far as these Democratic candidates were concerned. They didn't want anybody from his administration standing on the podium next to him, so they did run away.
That's right.
But the difference is, strategically, they understand that the midterm elections don't mean as much as the presidential elections are concerned.
Okay, and his Middle East policies from Africa to the Middle are disastrous, the Arab Spring, everything else, but they still wanted to believe him instead of Netanyahu, who lives in that neighborhood.
The president has enjoyed a recent bump in popularity.
Yeah,
it's gone up to the 50% range in recent weeks. And it's kind of interesting if you start to look back and overlap the charts as far as his popularity is concerned. There's one other chart that closely matches. It's not perfectly matched, but it's very, very similar as far as the peak and the valley is concerned. Gasoline prices.
Uh-huh.
I didn't catch this before.
Which he has nothing to do with.
Well, but it's one of those things that every last one of us right now has extra cash in our wallets because of the lower gasoline prices.
Yeah.
And that translates into a political sentiment. And it's interesting if you look at the two, how closely related they are.
Right. And then he vetoes the Keystone Project again while oil tanker cars are crashing and catching on fire.
Well, we'll have to watch closely because as these prices edge up, we'll see if his popularity level declines a little bit over the next week or two. Hey, good morning. You're on KROC.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
To add to the last gentleman's point about the untrustworthiness of the Obama administration and his representatives as well, we can't trust the Republican leadership either. They're just as bad. They're close.
The polls show most people agree with you.
Yeah.
We can't trust anything out of Washington. And look at, as was just reported, both Speaker Boehner and McConnell were saying, oh, we're going to fight this executive amnesty tooth and nail. It's a huge constitutional issue, regardless of what the content of what President Obama is trying to do. Legally, he can't do this. We can't stand for it. And when the going gets tough, look what happens. They caved. They caved so quickly and barely put up a fight, and now it's kind of being swept under the rug because of the Netanyahu speech. But if the courts hadn't stepped in, then everything would be going through as Obama planned, and so they have no spine.
Let me ask you this. That I know you're talking about the funding of DHS, Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
And obviously immigration is tied in with that because Homeland Security is the umbrella organization for ICE and the Border Patrol and various other law enforcement functions. And I've been watching this, and all of a sudden, when you got down to zero hour there on Friday, you had a lot of folks come out of the woodwork and say, this is utterly ridiculous to connect this immigration issue to DHS funding. We have to stand up and fund DHS, blah, 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 blah. And that led up to, as you pointed out, the collapse and the cave-in by the Republican leadership. What the heck is it? I mean, I understand the DHS budget is huge. It's become one of the larger pieces of the federal government. And apparently that must mean that in various states that there are large expenditures that are taking place in those states must be tied to jobs. I don't know what it would be with DHS.
Well, I think the Democrats nailed them on national security. You say you're in favor of strong borders, national security, and you want to threaten the DHS, but they should separate out the two issues.
The Border Patrol functions would have continued.
And Coast Guard functions and everything.
Yes,
yeah.
Granted, those people would not have been paid for the duration of the partial shutdown.
Yeah.
But those functions, it's not like you all of a sudden took everybody off the border.
Well, the problem is that the Republicans are so inarticulate and bad at defending their positions. They didn't put the onus on President Obama to defend his position. Harry Reid blew up the filibuster rules in the Senate. He's frankly ruined the Senate. Take advantage of it. Just completely blow up the filibuster rule, pass the bill so that President Obama is the one that has to say, I value illegal immigration over the rest of the DHS funding.
But they could only get 47 votes in the Senate.
But that's
they
right. Why isn't the filibuster rule still in effect, or why doesn't McConnell use it?
No, but they couldn't even get 51 votes.
Well, that's because there's a split, as their caller is suggesting, between the Republican Party. You got the Tea Party conservatives, and you got the establishment Republicans who cave, who want things as they are, and they even want illegal immigration. And so they're fighting each other and making the party look even more deserving of the term stupid party.
Well, and the problem is that the more people learn the truth about how our immigration system is functioning and the burden that some of the illegal immigration is putting on our social welfare systems, the more people say, yeah, I want this fixed. And the more they learn about it, the more upset they get. And it's a huge opportunity for Republicans to earn back the reputation of looking out for the middle class.
That's right, the illegal immigrants. Yeah, but the American public agrees with the Republicans. What do you think of illegal immigrants getting tax rebates when they haven't paid taxes and getting a Social Security number that allows it?
And that's an example of not believing what President Obama said. He stood in front of the press and said, all of these kids coming up from Central America and whatnot, all of them have to go home. How many have been sent back? That's not being reported on.
They have lost track of most of them.
Basically none of them.
They've lost track of most of them.
Yeah, they just disappeared into the fabric. Instead of spending money to send them back to Central America, which we said we were going to do, they just disappeared into the United States. And we sent them there to their families that are here illegal. And so, again, they just stood up there and be like, oh, my gosh, this is outrageous. But it just kind of faded from the public view. None of them got sent home, and it's completely unsustainable. And so when there's these polls that come out saying, well, people are in favor of immigration reform, they don't ask them specifically what they want.
No, but that Texas judge.
Yeah, when immigration reform, I want the illegals to be treated like the criminals that they are and be sent home, and I want less immigration.
And the federal judge in Texas that's blocking Obama's amnesty powers, and then the Supreme Court's going to be looking at Obamacare, so there might be progress yet.
Well,
but the problem
I wouldn't be making any bets on.
I'm running over. We can't always just defer this to the courts, because the executive branch and the judicial branch are the ones gaining power, and Congress is just handing it over to
them. That's an excellent point.
Yes, but
excellent point. Mm-hmm. Got to take a break.
Oh, all right. Sorry for running so long. You guys have
a good day. You too, thanks. Have a pleasant day. Everybody needs to just take a breath. 28 degrees downtown Rochester at KROC AM. It's 5 minutes away from 11 o'clock. Tom Ostrom's here. I'm Andy Brownell, and we will be right back.
Three. Now, your Weather Eye forecast on News Talk 1340 KROC AM.
It is brought to you by Mystic Lake Casino. Mixed Martial Arts returns to Mystic Lake this Friday night with the Resurrection Fighting Alliance. Takes over the Mystic Showroom. Tickets still available for the hard-hitting RFA action at mysticlake.com. Winter weather advisory till 9 o'clock tonight. Going to see a little bit of snow, not even that much, maybe an inch or so, but winds are going to howl later on today when a cold front arrives. We're expecting a high near 30 degrees, but then all the way down to 2 below tonight with very strong and gusty northwest winds. High tomorrow, about 8 degrees, still a very brisk wind, down to 10 below tomorrow night. Thursday's high around 12 with partly cloudy skies, and then we're expecting to see at least partly cloudy skies Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mid-30s Friday and Saturday, and a high near 40. Yes, near 40 on Sunday. Right now with light snow and some even drizzle in the downtown, 28 degrees at KROC AM. Tom Ostrom's here. I'm Andy Brownell, and unfortunately, we only have a couple minutes left, so we'll try to slip in as many phone calls as we possibly can. Good morning. You're on KROC. Thanks for holding on.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was just wondering if, like, when these Republicans cave, could it be because there are some very severe threats on their lives and family? I've heard this has happened before.
I have no way of possibly knowing if that's the case. I have a hard time believing it. There's I would certainly hope not, because if we're at that level in our society, we're in big, big trouble. Thanks a lot for the call. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. You got 1 minute.
Okay. I'd say the word, what I'd say is no, because that's why we got these different law enforcement agencies, if anybody gets threatened, that, you know, they're not getting threatened over this. But the problem is they got these standalone bills. The Congress, the Senate, and a whole bunch of them don't, especially Congress, does not believe in standalone bills. If it's a good bill, put it forward, don't tie anything to it. And that's what's kind of sad when you talk about immigration. I understand that since Obama's been in office, that we have less illegals in our country now than we did when he got into office. And then I understand, too, that he's basically sent more illegals home than anybody other than the previous president in the same time frame. So it's like he's trying to fix things, and this immigration thing's been broken since the 60s.
Yes, it is. I agree on that part of it.
Right. So, yeah, they got to fix it. You got to fix the immigration. And the person that says that...
5 seconds.
You send the people back home that are illegal, the kids. Hey, we just paid to have them educated.
Okay.
Hey, keep them.
I got to run.
Thanks.
Yeah,
bye.
Thanks. Okay. It is already 11 o'clock, Tom. You can speak now. See you Friday?
Yes.
All of a sudden, he's shy. It's 11 o'clock, KROC AM Rochester.